He said, green is go. So let me make sure that's on. Awesome. Well, again, first of all, I just want to say thank you all very much as well. Just to kind of echo what was said earlier. Thank you all so much just for how hospitable you guys have been. And if I can speak English, I only do it for a living. But thank you all so much for having us. It's been a great blessing and encouragement just to be able to talk with y'all and kind of hear from you and kind of talk to you about our field and what the Lord's doing. And we're looking forward to the rest of the week with y'all for sure. If you have your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. We'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll go ahead and read these verses, pray, and get going. So if you can and if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for who you are and just everything that you do in our lives and through us. God, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and it is such an honor and a privilege to be called your child. Father, I ask that you just please help us now as we look into your word this evening. Help us to open up our hearts, open up our ears to receive the word, to meditate on it, to apply it to our lives. Father, we love you and thank you so much for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, this evening, I want to talk to y'all a little bit about the topic that fuels missions. And if you've been around missions for very long, if you've been to many missions conferences, I'm sure you've heard, I like to say, the three pillars of missions, that is pray, give, and go. It's a classic, and that was actually the theme of the last missions conference that Brother Brian was preached at for us, and where we were called to go back to Mexico. But it's pray, give, and go, and we could spend probably an hour on each topic, and but tonight I just want to kind of focus in on that first pillar, if you will, about praying for missionaries, the importance of praying for missions. And so the power of prayer for missions is what fuels missions. It takes money to get a missionary to the mission field, but it's going to take prayer to keep a missionary there. Missionaries go through many different things, sometimes physical, sometimes spiritual, and it's all scary sometimes, and you're going to a place, a country that is not your own, you're not accustomed to. There's bugs there, there's insects there, there's diseases there, there's people there that you are unfamiliar with, and your body has to adapt, and you have to learn a language, and there's so many different things, nuances that go into that, that a lot of people just don't even realize, some really, what missionaries go through. But let me tell you, that's okay, because that doesn't mean your prayers are any less effective. We live in an incredible world right now in the 21st century. To think about, we can pick up our phone and we can talk to someone literally across the world. On the other side of the planet, and talk with them like in real time, sometimes without even a delay. So the gospel has. We have an incredible opportunity to spread the gospel, and we can get the gospel quite literally across the world using the internet. But while that is an amazing opportunity, there's also still that obstacle, that pushback from the world that the gospel faces and that those missionaries face when they go into those dark places. And just like in Paul's time, there's still that pushback and that flat-out just rejection of Christianity in places around the world, places where sharing the gospel could either land you up in jail or in front of a firing squad. So it's still a dangerous place. But here's the crazy part. There's still some people that are just flat-out crazy, and they call themselves missionaries. And they go to these places that are just like a normal person would say, that's insane. Why would you do that? But all of this is fueled. Like, why do they do that? It's all fueled with that same responsibility that every Christian has. That is to get the gospel to a world that does not know Jesus. So what is our role in all of that? How can we participate in that? And I mentioned those three pillars, pray, give, and go. And tonight we're going to kind of look at how we can effectively pray in a meaningful way that will help our missionaries be more effective on the mission field. Paul really, he lays it out perfectly, kind of outlines it for us there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in these two verses. He's asking the church to pray. For the gospel to break through barriers, to break through cultural barriers, through language barriers, for the safety of the people that are out there really laying it all on the line and the risk. I was listening to a it's a part series of a lady who was a missionary. She's, I believe she's probably in her 80s now, but she was a missionary, and she said after she shortly got to the mission field, they had gotten word that another missionary had died. And so some of the people that were on the directors of the mission board that they were with there on the field, they looked at all of the missionaries that were there and said, listen, we just want you to realize this could be you. Yet they proceeded with courage. And so prayer is so important. There are things that we went through, and I'll share some of the things that we went through on the mission field, that there is no way we could have went through them or gotten through them had it not been for people and churches back home praying for us, holding the ropes for us. I believe it was Adoniram Judson that he was getting ready to go to the mission field, and he looks at the men there, and he says, fellas, if you'll hold the ropes, I'll go down into the well. And so the well being the mission field and the rope being prayer and being supportive and sending that missionary. And here's the crazy part. Missions isn't just the missionary going to the mission field. That's only part of it, because it's a teamwork. It's an effort. It involves the church as well as the missionary partnering together for the sake of the gospel. And if both ends are doing their job, if the missionary is going into the well and the church is holding the ropes, by the end of the day, we'll all have scars on our hands and we'll all be reaching the world with the gospel. So I want to notice just three things here this evening about praying for missionaries. The first thing is this. We see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says this, praying for the success of God's word. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Paul here, he kicks off his letter with a heartfelt plea for prayer. If you ask any missionary currently on deputation on the mission field or who has been on the mission field, what's the number one thing you need? Their number one need is prayer. We need more prayer. And we're going to see why we need more prayer here shortly. But he's not asking something minor. Prayer is a vital, an important tool in the life of the missionary, in the work of missions. But here he's asking the Thessalonican church to pray that the word of God may have free course and be glorified. In other words, he's saying he wants God's word to run without barriers, to run without obstacles and roadblocks, no detours, but to plow full steam ahead and change the hearts of the people that they're sharing the gospel with. There's times your missionary has to go to the mission field, you have to learn Spanish or Swahili or Japanese. And those languages are difficult to learn because they're not our native tongue. And the last thing a missionary wants is to be sharing the gospel with someone and the language to be a barrier. Or for the missionary even to do something or say something that may be normal and acceptable in my culture, but in their culture is offensive. And offend them and lose them and not be able to share the gospel with them anymore. And so pray that God's word would have free course wherever your missionaries are going, whether that's somewhere in Africa, in Mexico, or in Asia, or in somewhere in Europe, or in Latin America, wherever that is, may God's word have free course, even in those closed countries where a missionary can't stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. We were in a church in Illinois, and we met the pastor there. He was a missionary in a country that was closed, and he couldn't pass out a tract. He said one of the hardest things he had to do was when a church would send him at the end of the year a questionnaire, and they would ask, how many tracts did you pass out? He would write zero, because if he did, he'd get kicked out of the country. But that doesn't negate the fact that they still want the gospel to transform the lives of the people that they're witnessing to. So pray for that when those missionaries are sharing the gospel, that it can transform the lives of those that they're witnessing to. I remember it was closer to the time before we came home, came back to America. And I remember we were driving down the road and I stopped in OXXO. OXXO is kind of like Mexico's version of 7-Eleven. And so we stopped in OXXO because I ran inside to grab a Coca-Cola before we headed off to our next appointment there. And I came walking out of the store and there was a man out there selling elotes. How many of y'all know what elotes is? How many of y'all know what Mexican street corn is? Okay, but it's from Mexico, so it was really good. But he was selling Mexican street corn, the elotes there. And so I stopped and bought one and was talking with him for a moment. And I didn't have a whole lot of time, so I gave him a track and kind of shared the gospel with him a little bit. And I said, hey, if you need anything, I wrote my phone number down and I gave it to him. I said, hey, if you need anything, give me a call. I'd love to talk with you further about the gospel, about Jesus and stuff. And it was just very, very brief, maybe 5 minutes in total. And so later that evening, he shoots me a text and he says, hey, I need your help. I'm like, what's up? He said, I'm a drunk. He said, and I fight with my wife. I fight with my family. It's like, and my relationship with them is horrible. And he said, I need help. Can you help me? I text back and I said, no. I said, I can't. I said, but I can introduce you to someone who can. And I'd love to introduce you to him. And so we set up a time to go to his house. And we sat down, my wife and I sat down with him and his wife. And we were able to take the Bible. And we, for 45 minutes to an hour, just shared the gospel with him. The man's name was Giovanni. And at the end of it, I asked Giovanni, I said, Giovanni, do you understand what I am telling you? And you could just see this, the weight of his sin, like, was literally just bearing down on him. And he said, yeah, I understand. I said, so you understand what you need to do? He said, I understand. I said, so what's holding you back from accepting Jesus? He said, nothing. I said, so when are you going to accept Jesus as your Savior? When are you going to repent of your sins and trust in him? He said, I need to do it right now. I said, well, then let's do it, man. I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I prayed for him. And I said, Giovanni, if you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, man, I don't want to hold you back. Just do it. And he did, man. He prayed right there. You're just weeping. And as he began to weep, I began to weep. And he just cried out to God, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You could literally see just the transformation in his life. About a week later, he shoots me a text and he says, I haven't had a drop of alcohol this entire week. He said, and I'm fighting with my wife less. It's a process, y'all. It just doesn't happen overnight, okay? And I said, man, I'm so happy for you, man. That's so wonderful. I'm so glad. The gospel changes lives. The gospel can transform families. We saw it time and time again in Mexico, when God pulls out that heart of stone and puts in that heart of flesh. The gospel transforms lives. So pray for your missionaries that the gospel will have free course wherever they are serving. But notice secondly in verse 2, praying for protection from opposition. Paul here, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He knows the world is wicked and he knows the devil is out to get him. He says this, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. It doesn't take but 5 minutes to watch the news to realize we live in a world that is not welcoming to Christians. There is some dark places in this world. Missionaries will go to these places where quite literally for decades, even hundreds of years, those places have quite literally been the devil's playground. And here's a little missionary taking the gospel and shining it into those dark corners. Let me tell you, Satan don't like that. The devil is real. I can remember times when I just had Gabrielle at the time. We laid her down for bed, and Stephanie had just gotten in bed, and I was going and making sure all the doors were locked. And in the back of the house, you know how it is in the front of your house, especially if you live in the country, when a car drives by, like in your front from your front window, you can see the shadows in your living room and stuff. Well, that happened, but in the back of our house, where there were no windows for cars to drive by, shadows would run across our wall. I saw that. The devil is real, church, and he does not like it when the gospel is taken and shined in those dark corners, because he knows the power of the gospel. He knows the power of the gospel, because the gospel, God's word, never returns void. And if someone is willing and bold enough to stand up and proclaim the truth, people will get saved. And so pray for your missionaries as they go to these places, as they go and proclaim the gospel, that God will protect them physically. I have a friend of mine, his last name is, well, in Spanish it's Villarreal, but his name's Villarreal. He's an American guy. But he was just recently, a few months ago, in Mexico, and he was speaking at a funeral. And there was a man in the congregation that was just so furious that a Protestant was speaking at a Catholic funeral. And so right in the middle of him speaking, he gets up and he just pile drives Brother Villarreal right in the chest. He falls back onto a pebble stones and hits his head, fractures his skull, and the man jumps on top of him, proceeds to just beat the lights out of him. I don't know how he survived, but just a few weeks ago he was in church. They got him a lifeline flight to Texas because the Mexican hospital just couldn't handle it, and so they got him to Texas, and the doctors in Mexico and the United States both were like, I don't know how this happened. I mean, I do. It was God. But they were just blown away. Like, how could he survive this? But the world that we live in is not welcoming to Christians. I mean, even you hear of persecution here in the United States. It's a dangerous world. And the devil does not like what Christians, what missionaries are doing. So pray for missionaries. Number one, that God's word will have free course wherever they are. But number two, that they will have protection from those unreasonable and wicked men. But take your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll notice this lastly, our responsibility to pray. Our responsibility to pray. Sometimes we know, oh yeah, I know I should pray, and so, but I mean, is it really necessary? Well, it's your duty. It's your responsibility. And it's not just something nice to do. It's a necessity. We need your prayers. I like to say this. We purposefully got our prayer cards on thicker stock paper because I honestly believe that these are worth more than their weight in gold. And so when you get a prayer card, I heard one missionary say, he said, pick up one and put it in your Bible or your fridge, whichever one you go to the most. I just say get two, put one in your fridge and one in your Bible. There you go. But it's so important to pray for your missionaries. What is our responsibility in this? Well, we saw it there in 2 Thessalonians, but notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. He says this, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Now, hold on a second. I thought Paul was a Christian already. He's asking prayer for his salvation. Now, it's not talking about the salvation of his soul. This is a prison epistle. He's in jail. Okay, it's talking about his deliverance from prison. So we could say this, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation," or my deliverance, through what? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Sometimes missionaries go through things that are extremely heavy and extremely difficult. And we need somebody to pray for us. Because there's times where I just couldn't pray. I remember when our daughter first had her seizure. We were in Walmart, and she ended up having a seizure. She quit breathing, and I had to give her CPR to revive her. She didn't have any pulse or anything. It happened on a Saturday. Sunday, happened again. Finally, they figured out that she had epilepsy, and she was having those grandma seizures, I guess it was, and she quit breathing, and so I had to do CPR to revive her. And I just remember going through that, and man, just being so traumatic. I didn't really realize how traumatic it was until we were back here in the States, and I was going through the CPR refresher course of the fire department with the firefighters, and I was literally shaking as I was holding that little doll, doing the CPR on it again, just because of those memories it was bringing up. So sometimes your missionaries go through stuff that is so heavy, and as Paul says, it's only through your prayers that I can get through this. And so your missionaries live on your prayers. It's quite literally what fuels the mission. Yes, we need money to get to the field, but like I said, it's prayer that's going to keep us there. And so I encourage you this evening, pray for your missionaries. Your prayers are so important. Everyone in here, doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're not somebody that's just on the sidelines. You're part of it. You're just as important as the missionary who goes. Because it's a team effort. We cannot do what we do on the mission field without your prayers. I'll let you in on a missionary secret. Fellas, I'm sorry, I'm spilling the beans here. But we don't want to see one soul saved. We want to see hundreds upon thousands upon millions upon billions of people accept Christ as Savior. So would you do me a favor? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for these missionaries? Would you get a list of the missionaries that you support and pray for them? I'm not saying you have to pray for every single one every single day. I believe the church close to 80-something missionaries that you guys support, which is phenomenal. But take one a month. Follow them. Email them. Let them know, hey, we're praying for you because we need your prayers. Pray for your missionaries, please. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, and the power of prayer. There is missionaries in this very room. We could spend days going through stories after stories of how through prayers of the saints, you've protected us, you've provided for us, and you've taken care of us from the deputation trail, from preparing all the way up to on the mission field. Father, I ask that you just please help us, Lord, to be more effective in our prayer life. Father, we love you and thank you for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name.